Hi everybody, Chris Chang and Phillips here. You're about to hear Terra Informa live at Macaulay School in Edmonton. It was part of the Winter Salon Series hosted by Edmonton's Latitude 53 Art Gallery. We were part of a host of speakers, dancers, musicians, and filmmakers riffing off the ideas of cold and warmth.
So although we're very close, we're going to use our mics today because we are recording this. This is very exciting for us. Terra Informa is an environmental news radio show based at CJSR, and we don't often get out of the basement. So tonight we're going to record our segments, and they're going to be broadcast live, sounding really live, all around the country next week, from Sydney, Nova Scotia, all the way up to Tuktoyaktuk and down to Victoria. So thank you for being here, and...
So today is a special live broadcast of Terra Informa. I'm Catherine Lennon.
And I'm Jessica Kozlowski.
And we've also got Chris Chang and Phillips and Trevor Chow Fraser. So most weeks you can catch Terra Informa on your local community radio dial. Every 7 days we bring you the hottest environmental news from around Canada.
We cover corporate wrongdoings and investigate tips for greener living. We often explain the science behind environmental issues, and we'll show you the human, personal, and frequently surprising story behind the headlines.
The show has been going for over a decade, and it's produced locally in the studios of CJSR-FM. We're broadcast in over 50 communities from sea to sea to sea, and we podcast around the world on iTunes and also on our website, which is terrainforma.ca.
Tonight, Terra Informa brings you a series of short segments exploring hot and cold. We'll ask an archivist what does or does not make Edmonton a winter city.
And then we're going to need your audience participation to explain the science of temperature.
But first, let me introduce to you Chris for a little discussion on the most magical of all temperatures, 4 degrees Celsius.
So tonight I have with me the lovely Jamie Pratt. If you haven't met Jamie before, she is the creator of the Girl Gone Wild documentary series. You can watch some of her amazing videos online if you ever want to know what to do if you run into a coyote. And I asked Jamie here because she intimately knows a lot about the biology and ecology of places around Canada, and I wanted to share one of the most magical things about biology on Earth, which is the magic of 4 degrees Celsius. So last year, my mom and I were driving in her new Volkswagen car. It was a Tiguan, and she was really excited to have her new car to show me off. And we were in Calgary. It was about January. We're driving along the freeway, and then all of a sudden, this light starts blinking on the dashboard. Ding, ding, ding. And she's like, oh, damn it, there it goes again. It's like, what? What's the problem? She said, well, it's telling me it's 4 degrees outside. Why do I care? Why is that relevant information? So she yelled at her dashboard for a little while, and this was like our mystery for a couple months. Why does 4 degrees matter? And we looked it up for the Tiguan, and it turned out that it just means black ice. But it also means that you're at the temperature when water does something that almost no other chemical on Earth can do. And that is that most things become bigger when they're hotter and smaller when they're colder. But every day when you make your oatmeal in the morning and you turn on your kettle and you get some steam rising out, you see the water's getting bigger. But then you walk past the river and the coldest water in the river is the stuff on top. It's not falling to the bottom like it should. So you can see this in your fridge. when you put a pop can in your freezer, it explodes. You can see it every day in the lakes and rivers around us too. And Jamie, why is it that water can do this crazy, crazy thing?
Well, Chris, it's because water is actually a polar molecule. And so it's got a positive side and a negative side. But the negative side is a little bit more strongly negative than the positive side. And so what that means is that water can do things like hydrogen bonding, which is what allows it to have surface tension and stuff like that. But it also means that water is attracted to each other, but also repelled from each other because it's got this strongly negative side. And so it's kind of like my relationship with Chris, because we are obviously really attracted to each other because he's sexy and I'm sexy. But I also know that together we would be just this massive power couple, and with great power comes great responsibility. And since I spilled an entire bottle of cranberry juice in my purse and drove over my retainer recently, I am not ready for that kind of responsibility. So we have to find a kind of relationship that allows us to be close enough to satisfy how attractive we are, but far enough away that we don't go overboard, which is basically what water has to do. And so water gets colder, 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 denser, 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 and then it gets to 4 degrees Celsius, and it's actually as close together as it can possibly get. And then it starts to become more stationary. It wants to become a solid. And the hydrogen bonds have to, you know, have a little conversation. It's like, okay, we have to be close, but far away. And so the water begins to rise, and the ice is actually less dense as those hydrogen bonds become more rigid.
And this is actually surprisingly important for life on Earth.
Absolutely. It's basically why life can exist on Earth. So if water was like every other liquid and it got dense and froze from the bottom up, our lakes would freeze from the bottom up. And they'd start at the bottom, but then the top would be constantly exposed to the weather. So the entire lake would freeze and nothing would survive the winter. Ice, because it's less dense, is actually an insulator. So when it freezes at the top, all that super cold water, it's actually also keeping the water that's still liquid underneath a more stable temperature.
So all through the winter, fish can live in this little reserve pool of 4 degrees Celsius water, right?
Absolutely. They get a little tired. They get a little cold, so they're ectotherms, which means their body temperature is the same as the temperature around them, basically. And so when they get super cold, it's basically like everything moves in slow motion. Fish in rivers try to find a place where the water is not flowing so they don't just get swept away and die. And fish hang out at the bottom of the lakes happily all winter long.
And when I went to university, we did this cool experiment where we were trying to measure the health of the creeks around Peterborough. So we went out with these buckets and our big hip waders to try to scoop up some invertebrates in the middle of the winter. And even though there was ice all crusted over the top, we could still pick up little mayflies and caddisflies just chilling out along the river bottom. And this is something that astronomers are interested in, too.
Absolutely. This is why we're looking for water on other planets like Mars, because if there's water there, then that maybe life could exist there, too. Isn't that pretty cool?
And water has some other crazy properties that frogs are really interested in, too.
So water being a polar molecule blah, 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 is also a great solvent. So it can bond to other things, and that's why we use it in lots of solutions. What our wood frogs do around here, the little wee frogs with the kind of bandito eyes, when it gets super cold, they're actually able to freeze solid. And the way they do that is they hyper-concentrate the water in their cells and in their organs, and they put all the extraneous water into their cavities in their body. And so when the water freezes, it has room to expand because it's in the hollow cavities. And the water in their organs and their cells never actually freezes, so it doesn't destroy their cells and make them explode and die.
It's hyperconcentrated the same way that water on your sidewalk gets hyperconcentrated with salt when you throw some salt on it. You lower the freezing point.
Perfect.
And we decided that there is really only one way to make this really memorable for you so that you're going to go home and tell all your friends about 4 degrees Celsius, and that is to take off all our clothes.
Obviously. Obviously one of us has got a project called Girl Gone Wild and the other one is not.
in the bottom of the lake. I was born and raised in the benthic is where I spent most of my days, swimming and spawning, relaxing in the pool, all dodging predators from outside of the school. When a big piece of ice that was up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood, but then it rose to the top, so I wasn't scared. You want to mess with the benthic, you best come prepared.
4 degrees.
I'm getting colder and colder. My body's getting colder and colder. The sun's beating down on the water, but the water's getting colder and colder.
Hi, I'm Kyle, and I'm the program coordinator at Latitude 53, and we're an artist-run center downtown. So we're a contemporary gallery, and we show contemporary art that's not commercial, so we don't sell to make money, right? We're like a charity. And this was, part of it was to take it outside of the gallery for once and to show like performance art and all kinds of different types of art, right? Like music and all that, instead of just visual art is what we normally do. And this was about getting people out of their homes, right? Because we're all, like you were saying, whimpering inside of our enclosed, you know. So I think this is good. Yeah, it was great.
Did you have a specific vision for this show that you definitely saw tonight, or were you kind of open about it?
No, I think we went into this with a completely open mind. I mean, like, each submission was just done through, like, a biography, right? And we didn't know the work or what we'd be seeing. And each salon has been like that, so it's been a surprise each time.
You're listening to Terra Informa, live from Latitude 53's Winter Salon in Edmonton. Check out pictures from the event on our website, terrainforma.ca.
Okay, so the next thing that we're going to be talking about is temperature. And we're going to be talking about temperature in terms of molecules. So what is temperature? Temperature is the average energy of molecules in the air. So molecules that have high energy are moving very quickly and they're expanding, and that's what we call heat. And molecules that have low energy are very slow moving and they don't have much energy, and from that we feel cold. So today we're going to do an activity where you guys are going to try to demonstrate what average temperature is. But before we do that activity, we're going to talk a bit about a couple of real-world examples where we see this energy of molecules and how it affects things in the world around us. So you guys want to give some examples first?
Sure. So maple syrup is a great example. In the spring, we all... You know, maple syrup, that's the time to go tap it. That's when the trees are starting to warm up. And when you take maple syrup out of your fridge, it's super cold, right? It's moving really slowly. But then if you warm it up in the pot and it moves really quickly, then you can pour it on snow and then roll it into those nice little treats.
An example I like is molten lava, because you don't think of lava as something that moves very fast, but when it's very hot, lava moves a lot faster than when it's cold, because when it's cold, it's volcanic rock.
Thanks, guys. So those were really good examples. Thank you. another example in terms of molecules being heated and expanded is what we're seeing happening in our global oceans. So as the ocean is heating up, what's happening is a lot of our coastal communities are being taken over by the ocean. Because of this high energy, it's expanding, because that's what happens when things get hot. They expand. Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we are going to need a couple of volunteers from the audience. If all of you want to participate, we can definitely accommodate everybody up here. And we're going to have some people being the hot and some people being the cold. So let's have at least 5 people for hot and 5 people for cold come up here. So come on up, whatever you think you'd rather be. If you're cold, okay. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Don't be depressed about it. So we'll have cold over here and hot over there. Let's try to get about the same number on either side. I know everyone wants to be hot because it's the sexy one, but come on, we got to have some cold as well. Yeah, you want to be cold? Sure, no problem. Thank you. Okay, so the way that we're going to demonstrate average temperature is that we're going to have this side. You guys are the hot. So hot is fast, high energy. So I want you guys to be saying hot, 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 really, really fast, okay? When on my mark, not yet, but just practice in your head. Hot, 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 okay? And then you guys are the cold. So you're slow, low energy, and you guys are going to be saying cold very slowly. And then to make the average temperature of hot and cold, to make warm, I want you guys to slowly come towards each other. Okay? Does everybody understand the rules?
And we always keep the same pace.
Yes, so keep the same pace. Because what temperature is the average of the hot and cold. It's the average of the energies. So you guys stay low energy and you guys stay high energy. And when you come together, hopefully we will hear the harmony of hot and cold coming together to make warm. Okay? So maybe on the count of three, we'll start doing hot, cold, and moving towards each other, okay? One, two, three. Louder! All right, awesome. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. All right. All right, hot and cold. Go your separate ways. All right, so congratulations. We made warm together. Thank you to all of our brave volunteers for showing us the harmony that occurs when different temperatures mix.
Wander in through the cold again. It's been cold outside and it's getting cold again.
Okay, let's do it again. Then you can laugh at my joke.
It's been cold outside and it's getting cold again.
Live radio recorded. All right, take two. All right, so we know that the subject of hot and cold is very polarizing thing, and we all have our opinions about it, especially in Edmonton, a city where we like to boast about how cold it gets and how much we can withstand the cold. But I don't really know if we are a winter city or if we're more of a whimper city, because I think that we spend a lot of time in our cars and in our heated houses. So I noticed a few weeks ago there was that snowstorm that took us all off guard because it was the middle of March. And a lot of people were stressed about getting to work on time, and there were a lot of accidents and a lot of, you know, damage to roads, damage to people. Well, not roads, maybe. Damage to cars, people injured. And I just thought, well, it's interesting that we're a winter city, but it seems that our economy is not really adapted to cold, and maybe we're not adapted to cold. So I was curious to know what we might learn from history about how we can adapt to our surroundings. So tonight, we're very lucky to have with us Elizabeth Walker, who is a City of Edmonton archivist, and she's going to give us a bit of historical perspective on how people lived with winter in Edmonton. So I want to start off by asking you, Elizabeth, what do you most love about cold in Edmonton?
I actually really like snow, so I do enjoy those days after a snowstorm when the sun comes out and you get that great big blue sky and the trees are full of the snow. I think it's beautiful. And when you have a full moon, it's even better. So this picture is actually of hoarfrost, but it's depicting the Rossdale power plant, which is no longer with us. And it just represents some of the how beautiful winter can be.
So we've always had to deal with life in a cold climate in Edmonton. As you've looked through some of these images in the archives, what are some of your favorite images that show how people have been able to adapt or not adapt to the cold?
Okay. I think this is one of my favorite images because you have wash day problem. We have a lady here with some long underwear that is frozen and you can see where the water has dripped off. And it makes you think, what did you do when you didn't have a dryer? And so I guess you just lived with it. And I especially like this because she's coping with the cold and she's kind of got a laugh on her face, but there's a dog behind her and he just is desperate to get inside. So I really like this picture. And then we have just how people have, we have a delivery wagon with the horses absolutely covered in snow, and we have a dog helping a lady. She's in her fur coat out there. It's probably staged, but I really like these pictures. And then I think this is another great picture. It's sledding at Victoria Park. And so we've got someone on one of those saucers, and I'm pretty sure he didn't hit the people, but it looks like it was close. But we have tons more.
Yeah, so anybody can come on down to the archives and take a look?
We're working on putting them online, so we're at edmonton.ca/archives, and then you can get to our catalog. Only about 10% are online, though, so it's a really good idea to come in. We're in the Prince of Wales Armories. It's not far from here, 108th Avenue and 104th Street. And everybody's welcome to come.
Great. So after all this time of living with winter, finally the city of Edmonton is developing a winter city strategy, which is exciting. And they've released a document entitled For the Love of Winter, Strategy for Transforming Edmonton into a World-Leading Winter City. So Elizabeth, how do you think history can inform the future when it comes to planning for the cold? And what would it take to make us truly live in place as a winter city?
Well, the thing with this winter strategy is it's not really new. Like when I was starting, I wrote a blog post on the winter city strategy and how some of the records can inform how we've functioned in the past. And I found a lot of similar ideas, like how do you dress for the cold and still be stylish? So that's one of the things they're focusing on. And how do you get people out there and prepare them so that they're not getting frostbitten? And how do you make it fun? And there's a lot of evidence at the archives on how we've worked in the past.
And I guess we can take one question from the audience. Does anyone have a question for Elizabeth? How do you fix a pothole?
If you go to the next picture, it's actually transportation was a lot easier in the past. This is a bit dark, I'm afraid. So this is a well-to-do people. They've got a cutter, but everybody, they just put skis on their wagons, and transportation was actually a lot easier in the past. I wouldn't say it was easy, but when you didn't have roads, it was much easier to move around on snow. When the river froze, it was when you didn't have bridges you could get across. And
how would you stop?
Think about it in advance. Slowly. Oh, sorry.
Wonderful. And thank you so much. And hopefully we can move forward into warm now.
We're getting there.
All right.
So for our audience out there listening, this is the end of the show, but for all you here tonight, you get to still mingle and stuff, but we just wanted to say thank you for participating in our live broadcast, because we don't get to do it very often, and it's a really special time for us. So thank you to Latitude 53, and we'll be back for all you radio listeners with the coolest stories and hottest news in Canadian environmentalism. And in Edmonton, you can check us out on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. on CJSR 88.5. Thank you to everyone who took part in today's show, including Catherine Lennon for dreaming up this project in the first place and really pushing us forward, to Jessica, Catherine, and myself for hosting, and to Trevor and Tyler and Kyle. And I don't know your name, but thank you. It's
Adam.
Thank you so much for technical support today. We really appreciate it. So thank you for everything tonight. What did you learn about winter, Matt?
Oh, I was really fascinated by the 4 degrees Celsius, the Volkswagen dinging, because I have a Volkswagen myself, and I've always been curious.
Does it do that for you too?
Yep, it does.
Oh my god.
I know.
This is amazing.
I know.
And it does it on my dad's BMW, too. I think it's the Germans.
The Germans know what they're up to. Yeah. They must know about that 4 degrees thing.
They must be very concerned about slipperiness, too, I think.
Yeah. They're driving so fast on that Autobahn, they can't slip.
Right. I never thought of that.
I'm Tara.
Have you been to these events before?
No, this is my very first one. And I'm actually a volunteer, but I didn't know I would get free entertainment with it, so I'm really pleased. You guys were really great.
Would you, did you enjoy our show today, our live show?
I loved your live show, particularly the science-y elements, and I really wished my daughter had been here to enjoy it as well, because you guys made it fun and educational.
How are you going to live your life differently
after
this evening, after this mind-blowing, world-changing evening?
I'm going to take up belly dancing. That looked like fun.
Of course.
And also, that keyboardist, was he not awesome? I'm also going to take up keyboarding. Is that a thing?
You'll do them both at the same time.
Yeah. Woo! That won't translate well on the radio.
There were, for anybody listening, there were more sequins than you could shake a belly at this evening.
Great job, Tara and Forma. You made CJSR proud.
Tell me who you are.
Oh, I'm Annie.
And what do you do at CJSR?
I'm the volunteer graphic designer.
I'm Matt. I'm the news director at CJSR.
And they're adorable together. Cuddle. Let's hear some cuddling. One more little treat for you before we go. Our producer, Catherine Lennon, grabbed a great recipe from Terran Forma's Natalie Rawat for a little treat called Carta Medallions, and we thought we'd share it with you to enjoy at home.
They're called Carta Medallions. So basically, they are raw cookies, and we start off with a base of dates, and they're kind of almost pureed, and we add cacao to it and essential oils like citrus and cardamom, and we put in cranberries at the end with walnuts right on top of them, and they're just molded into shape by the end. But they're completely unbaked. They hold their texture because dates are really sticky and gooey, but that's what gives you that element of like you're eating a fudgy kind of brownie cookie.
So it's still satisfying.
Oh, most definitely.
It's healthy.
Yeah, exactly. There's no refined sugar in it, so it's fantastic. I think it's really good for you, and you know, you get what you want.
And why what's the advantage of not baking something?
So raw food is kind of a lifestyle. You can start small. The benefits of it are that you don't kill off living enzymes in your food. Food is living, plants are living, animals, same. They're very alike. And once you actually heat them up to a certain temperature, the value of the food is undermined completely because the living enzymes are dead, which is what our body actually needs to get maximum nourishment from them. So definitely, if you can incorporate a raw food diet into yours, even if it's 25% or even 50%, if you can bump it up to that, it's really beneficial for your system.